Welcome to Zichud Daf Siman Mem by Avram Goldar, and today we're Mesechus Rosh Hashanah, Daf Lamed Gimel, the fourth parak Yontov. Mesechus Rosh Hashanah has been generously sponsored as a schus for Chai Bas Esther. Before we begin the show, I want to remind you of the upcoming Grand Chizuk event taking place Sunday, November 21st in Passaic, New Jersey, celebrating the Siyum of Mesechus Rosh Hashanah and reaching the 25% of Shas milestone. My partner, Barry Leibowitz, and myself are looking forward to meeting you and sharing with you what will truly be an unforgettable experience. So for more information, please email info@zichru.com. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the Mishnah Daf Lamed Beis Amud Beis stated, we do not restrain the children from blowing the shofar. The Gemara says that the Mishnah implies Hanashim Ma'akmin, but we do restrain women from blowing. Now this conflicts with the brights of the top that we do not restrain women from blowing shofar in Rosh Hashanah. Abai answered that there's no kasha. The Tana of the Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that since women are not chayv in tekiyah shofar, they're forbidden to do it. Whereas the brights is the view of Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon, who hold that although women are not obligated to blow, they need not be restrained from doing so. The Gemara brings a braisa that demonstrates that they disagree whether women have an option of performing a mitzvah in which they're not chayv. It was taught regarding doing smicha on a carbon, Dabre al b'nei Yisrael, speak to b'nei Yisrael. He shall lean his hands upon the head of an ola. Rav Yehuda says, b'nei Yisrael somchin ve'ein b'nos Yisrael somchos. Only b'nei Yisrael do smicha, not b'nos Yisrael. Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon say, nashim somchos v'shus. Women have the option to do smicha if they so desire. Point number two, the next Mishnah states, shir trua kasholosh yababos. The length of a trua is like three whimpers. The Gemara notes that this conflicts with the braisa that taught, shir trua kasholosh shvarim. The length of a trua is like three shvarim, which Rashi explains are broken blast segments, which are longer than whimpers. Abai said that the disagreement is based on the following point, for it's written, yom trua yilachem, a day of trua sounding shall be for you. And the Targum renders this, Yom Yavav Yehilochon, a day of Yavava sounding shall be for you. And it's written regarding Sisera's mother, Bara Chalon Nishkafa V'tiyavev Em Sisera. Through the window she looked and she cried, V'tiyavev, Sisera's mother. The Malchokas is regarding what type of crying this is. The town of the Breisel was that Yavava is Ganuche Ganach, a reference to moaning, and therefore describes it as Shvarim. The town of our Mishnah holds that Yavava is Yehuliyalil, a reference to sobbing, and therefore describes a trua as a series of short whimpers. And point number three is taught in a brace of Menayin Shebe Shofar. From where do we derive that the trua blast of Rosh Hashanah must be sounded with a shofar? From this, that the Torah states regarding Yom Kippur of Yovel, V'havart the shofar trua, you shall sound the shofar blast of trua. I've so far only derived that a shofar is used on Yom Kippur of Yovel. From where do I derive that on Rosh Hashanah too? It's a shofar that is sounded. The Torah therefore states in that pasuk, B'chodesh HaShvi, in the seventh month. Now, what was the purpose of stating that when we know that Yom Kippur occurs in the month of Tishrei? Shukol trua shel chodesh Shvi zeh kazeh. It's to teach that all the trua blasts of the seventh month should be alike. On Rosh Hashanah, as on Yom Kippur and Yovel, the trua should be sounded with the shofar. So once again, the few points are, number one, the Mishnah Daf Lamed Beis Amud Beis stated, in Ma'akmin es etinokas melisko, we do not restrain the children from blowing the shofar. The Gemara says that the Mishnah implies hanashim ma'akmin, but we do restrain women from blowing. Now this conflicts with the braisa of the Tat, that we do not restrain women from blowing shofar on Rosh Hashanah. Abai answered that there's no kasha. The Tana of the Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that since women are not chayv in tekiya shofar, they are forbidden to do it. Whereas the Brice is the view of Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon, who hold that although women are not obligated to blow, they need not be restrained from doing so. The Gemara brings a Brice that demonstrates that they disagree whether women have an option of performing a mitzvah in which they're not chayv. It was taught regarding doing smicha on a carbon, Dabriel b'nei Yisrael, speak to b'nei Yisrael, he shall lean his hands upon the head of an ola. Rav Yehuda says, B'nei Yisrael somchin ve'im B'nei Yisrael somchos. Only B'nei Yisrael do smicha, not B'nei Yisrael. Rav Yossi, Rav Shimon say, Nashim somchos v'shus. Women have the option to do smicha if they so desire. Pointing to the next Mishnah states, Shir trua kasholosh yababos. The length of a trua is like three whimpers. The Gemara notes that this conflicts with the braisa of the Tat. Shir trua kasholosh shvarim. The length of a trua is like three shvarim, which Rashi explains are broken blast segments which are longer than whimpers. Abai said that the disagreement is based on the following point, for it's written, Yom Trua Yilachem, a day of trua sounding shall be for you. And the Targum renders this, Yom Yavava Yehilachon, a day of Yavava sounding shall be for you. And it's written regarding Sisera's mother, Bada Chalon Nishkava B'tiyavev Em Sisera. Through the window she looked, and she cried, B'tiyavev, Sisera's mother. The Malchokas is regarding what type of crying this is. The town of the Braisa holds that Yavava is Gunuchi Ganach, a reference to moaning, and therefore describes it as Shvarim. The Tana of our Mishnah holds that Yavava is Yeluyalil, a reference to sobbing, and therefore describes the Trua as a series of short whimpers. And point number three, was taught in a Brisa, Menayin Shebe Shofar, from where do we derive that the Trua blast of Rosh Hashanah must be sounded with a shofar? From this, the Torah states regarding Yom Kippur of Yovel, Vavarta shofar trua. You shall sound the shofar blast of trua. I have so far only derived that a shofar is used on Yom Kippur of Yovel. From where do I derive that on Rosh Hashanah, too? It's a shofar that sounded. The Torah therefore states, in that pasuk b'chodesh ha-shvi, in the seventh month. Now, what was the purpose of stating that when we know that Yom Kippur occurs in the month of Tishrei? Shiyu kol trua shel chodesh shvi zeh kazeh. It's to teach that all the trua blasts of the seventh month should be alike. On Rosh Hashanah, as on Yom Kippur and Yovel, the trua should be sounded with a shofar. All right, so now we go to our simmer daf lamed gimel, and our standard simmer is a peg-leg pirate, a peg-leg pirate. So here goes. The peg-leg pirate who grabbed the shofar away from his wife heard what sounded like a moaning or whimpering sound coming from his mother-in-law's window, who sent back a note that he better get ready to hear some more trua blasts from the shofar the entire seventh month. Once again, in slow motion. The peg-leg pirate, that must mean we're in Duff Lamed Gimel. The peg-leg pirate who grabbed the shofar away from his wife, which reminds us, there's a machlokes whether a woman should be restrained from blowing the shofar on Rosh Hashanah. This hinges on the broader machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon, whether women have an option of performing a mitzvah in which they're not chayiv, which is brought down with regard to doing smicha on a carbon. So the peg-leg pirate who grabbed the shofar away from his wife heard what sounded like a moaning or whimpering sound coming from his mother-in-law's window, which reminds us, the Mishnah states the shir of a trua is kesholosh yavavos, and there's a machlokes based on the weeping of sister's mother, whether a yavav is like a moaning sound, which would be three shavarim, or more like a series of short whimpers. So the peg-leg pirate who grabbed the shofar away from his wife heard what sounded like a moaning or whimpering sound coming from his mother-in-law's window, who sent back a note that he better get ready to hear similar trua blasts from a shofar the entire seventh month. Which reminds us that the source that a shofar is used to sound the truas on Rosh Hashanah is one from the pasuk regarding blowing a shofar on the Yom Kippur of Yovel. The unnecessary words b'chodesh ha-shvi come to teach that all the trua blasts of the seventh month should be alike. On Rosh Hashanah, as on Yom Kippur and Yovel, the trua should be sounded with a shofar. So once again, the peg-leg pirate who grabbed the shofar away from his wife heard what sounded like a moaning or whimpering sound coming from his mother-in-law's window, who sent back a note that he better get ready to hear a similar trua blast from a shofar the entire seventh month. All right, now it's time for a four-blot back chazara. Daf Chav Tes. So the similar Daf Chav Tes is a cot. So here goes. The man sitting on the cot. That must be more in Daf Chav Tes. The man sitting on the cot with his arms raised in the air, which reminds me, we're going to promote raising his hands in Mohammed with a Malik, that Kol Zman Shei Yisrael Mestakin Klapei Malik, so long as Yisrael gazed upward, Meshabim Yislibam Levihim Sheshamayim, Haim Yisgabrim, and subjugate their heart to their Father in heaven, they would prevail, but if not, they would fall. The same lesson is learned from the Nachash and the Choshes that was placed on a pole, so that those afflicted in the plague would look up to Avihim Sheshamayim. So, the man sitting on the cot with his arms raised in the air was surrounded by Kohanim and Levim, who'd gathered to listen to the blowing of the shofar, which reminds us that it was necessary for the Tan to teach that Kohanim and Levim are chayiv in tekiyah shofar, for if he had not done so, you might have said that since we learned in the Mishnah, Shava Yovel Rosh Hashanah, tekiyah habrachos, the laws of the Yovel year are identical to the laws of Rosh Hashanah with regard to the blowing and the habrachos, only someone who's subject to Yovel in its entirety is chayiv in the tekiyahs of Rosh Hashanah. But Kohanim and Levim, since they're not subject to the laws of Yovel year in its entirety, since Kohanim and Levim may sell their property at any time and may redeem it at any time, we would say that they're not obligated in the midst of the tekiyah shofar from Rosh Hashanah. Kamashmon, the Tana therefore informs us that they are indeed chayiv. So the man sitting on the cot with his arms raised in the air was surrounded by Kohanim and Levim, who gathered to listen to the blowing of the shofar, that the head of basin said to blow on Shabbos. Which reminds us of how Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai instead of blowing the shofar by basin in Yavda on Shabbos after the Churban of Bais Sheni, he told the B'nai Ben Sarah that they should blow and then they'll deliberate. And after it was blown, he said, the horn has been heard on Shabbos in Yavda and one should not refute basin after the deed has been done. Rashi explains that if they now forbid blowing even in basin, people will say their blowing was done in error, which will expose them to ridicule. Daf Lamed. So the Simmer Daf Lamed is a Malamed, a Rebbe. So here goes. The Rebbe, that must be more Daf Lamed, Malamed. The Rebbe, who was waiting with his Talmudim to listen to the shofar blowing on Shabbos outside of Beis Din, which reminds us, the Mishnah Daf Chav Tes on the Beis brought him a close to granting Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's enactment of blowing the shofar on Shabbos after the Churban. Rabbi Elazar said he only enacted blowing the shofar in Yavne, and the Chami said to him that he instituted both for Yavne and for any place in which there's a Beis Din. Rav Huna said the im basin, and the blowing must be done with basin. The first version of Rav Huna's statement explains that im basin means in the presence of basin. The mere existence of a basin in a city is not an adequate deterrent to prevent people from carrying the shofar under shoes of Rabbim on Shabbos. So the Rebbe was waiting with his Talmudim to listen to the shofar blowing on Shabbos outside of Beis Din, decided to do something as a Zecher of Mikdash, which reminds us when the Beis of Mikdash was destroyed, when Yochanan ben Zakkai instituted that there would be taken the provinces all 7 days of Sukkot, Zecher Migdash as a remembrance of the base of Migdash. The Gemara brings a source that we're bidden to make a Zecher Migdash from the Pasuk Tzion hi Dorish Einla, saying, she is Tzion, there is none who seek her. From the words Dorish Einla, there is none who seek her, Mikal, the boy Drisha. It's implied that she requires seeking. So the Rebbe was waiting with his Talmudim to listen to the shofar blowing on Shabbos outside of Beis Din, desired to do something as a Zecher Migdash. So he held a class discussion if the Levim should sing the Shir Shalom if Enim the Chodesh are delayed in coming. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Rishonim becoming Eidus HaKodesh Kol HaYom originally accepted Eidus HaKodesh all day. It once occurred that the witnesses were delayed in coming, meaning Skalkul Levim Bashir, and the Levim went awry in the singing the daily Shir. Consequently, the coming incident of the basin should only accept the Eidim until the Mincha, referring to the afternoon Tamid, and if they came from Mincha onward on Rosh Hashanah, they would observe that day and the following day as holy. The Gemara asks him, which way did the Levim go awry? In Babel, they explain Shul Amru Shira Kol Iker, that the Levim did not recite a Shir at all. Rabbi Zera in Eretz Yisrael said, Shamar Shira Shochol im Tamid Shol Ben Arbaim, that they recited the weekday Shira with the afternoon Tamid. Daf Lamed Aleph. So the Simmer Daf Lamed Aleph is the law, and we use a judge. So here goes. The judge. That must be on Daf Lamed Aleph. Law. The judge, who sang the Shir Shalom as he entered the courtroom, which reminds us we have a brisa that teaches why each Shir Shalom was chosen. So the judge who sang the Shir Shalom as he entered the courtroom suddenly stopped when he looked at the weather-beaten defendant who had survived 10 exiles all the way into the wilderness, which reminds us that we learned about the Esrei Masa'os, the 10 journeys that the Shekhinah took as it went to exile during the destruction of Bais Rishon, and correspondingly the Sanhedrin was exiled 10 exiles during the destruction of Bais Sheni. So the judge who sang the Shir Shalom as he entered the courtroom suddenly stopped when he looked at the weather-beaten defendant who had survived 10 exiles all the way into the wilderness, only to be put on trial because he ascended the Duchen wearing sandals in violation of 1 of 9 Takanas. Which reminds Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai enacted 9 Takanas, the 8th one being Kohanim are not permitted to ascend the Duchen in their sandals for Birkas Kohanim. The Gemara in Sot explains that this was instituted because of the concern that people might sit down during Birkas Kohanim to tie a loose strap, and people might suspect him of refraining from reciting the bracha because of a psul in his yichus. Daf Lamed Beis, so the Simmer Daf Lamed Beis is a mad scientist in a lab. So here goes. The mad scientist in a lab, that must be on Daf Lamed Beis. The mad scientist in a lab trying to program a Rosh Hashanah congruent's brain so that every memory would be accompanied with the thought of a king, which reminds us, the Gemara brings a source for the brachas of Malchus, Zichronos, and Shofros. Regarding Malchus, Rabbi Yossi Bar Yudas said, the Pasuk states, Vahiyu Zichron Lifnei Elokechem, and they shall be a remembrance for you before your God. It is seemingly unnecessary to state afterwards, Ani Hashem Elokechem, I am Hashem your God. Why is the Torah stated, Zebanav? This creates the source for the following principle. Kol Malchus Shenemar Bo Zichronos, you Malchus Mehen. For every place that the Psukim of remembrance are stated, Psukim and Malchus should accompany them. So the mad scientist in the lab trying to program a Rosh Hashanah congruent's brain so that every memory should be accompanied with the thought of a king, recited 10 psukim into his ears, which reminds us, we have a number of pshatim regarding what do the 10 psukim of Malchus correspond to, either the 10 Hilulim in Psalm 150, or the Aseres Dibros, or the Asar Mamaros that the world was created with. So the mad scientist in the lab trying to program a Rosh Hashanah congruent's brain so that every memory would be accompanied with the thought of a king, recited 10 psukim into his ears, but refrained from singing Hallel, given the seriousness of the day, which reminds us Hallel is not recited Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to the Malkei Asharis, is it possible when the Malka is sitting on the Kisei Din, and the Sifrei Chaim and Sifrei Mesim are open before him, that the Jews should recite song? All right, so that concludes today's shir. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman Zichu, wishing you a great day and great learning.